In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Station. Dirt and Sprague.
Hand off to Gibbs. Working the right side. Blocker in front to the 10. Gibbs skipping to the 5 and into the end zone for a touchdown. Tristan Colon was the convoy to lead Gibbs to the promised land. And perhaps to lead the Lions to their 8th win of the season.
Andy Dirt Johnson. Brandon Sprague.
Rears. There he goes. Rears to Jones. Kick it.
And Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180, 180,
we come. It's a man's game now.
Here we go.
Happy Football Friday, everybody. Hello, hello, hello.
What is happening?
How we doing? December the 5th?
Doing fantastic. December the 5th, that was the birthday. Good birthday day.
Birthday was good. It was great.
Yeah, solid birthday day.
Nonchalant, nothing, you know, major. Weather kind of sucked.
It was kind of a cruddy day yesterday. We've had good weather all week. Yesterday blew.
I found that I'm better at making dinner decisions when it's not my birthday.
I feel like there's too much pressure. You want to choose the perfect meal for your birthday, but you don't quite know exactly what you want.
Yeah, I had a lot of that going on.
Yeah, that's always a tough call because there's a lot of things that you like. There's not usually one that rides above the rest, and then you got to decide. I only got one birthday meal a year. I don't want to screw this thing up.
Yeah, I don't remember what I had last year for dinner. I remember the day. I don't remember what I had for the dinner, but like the wife kept asking, and I'm like, this, no that, no this, no that.
Tacos, no this.
Yeah, it was. It was going to be tacos. Yeah. And then my youngest hates Mexican food, which makes me think she's not my kid.
Yeah, what is happening there? Who hates Mexican food?
I don't know. It
How
doesn't
is that
make
possible?
Any sense. I don't know.
There's so many choices. Quesadillas out, tacos out, burritos out.
I have no idea.
Nachos technically under the umbrella.
Pick your protein.
Yes. I mean, enchiladas are delightful.
I think that's where I failed the most as a parent. My youngest hates Mexican food.
That is a bit of a whiff right there from the Sprague household.
So then I started thinking about her, and I'm like, well, I don't want to go somewhere she can barely eat.
Sure.
I don't know. Like, I ended up choosing something that was okay, but then it made my stomach feel weird last night.
That's not good.
So then I fell asleep, and I think the wife was trying to get it on. I was like, I'm sorry. I'm kind of gassy right now.
You had to do that. You had to pull the card, and I'm not feeling too good right now.
I didn't tell her. I just kind of rolled over.
Kind of rolled
like,
over.
Sorry.
Cinched up your sweatpants and went to sleep. Damn it. I'm not getting any tonight.
I was in shame. So shame.
Laying in bed, curled up in the fetal position, hearing the brrr in your stomach.
Yeah. Feeling it. And like, well, this isn't going to work until tomorrow, no. So I think I'm out.
It's got bubble guts going on.
Welcome
right
to 39.
Yeah, happy life, right?
But it was good. It was it was great. I had good sports on. Got to hang with family, and
so
fine.
We went out to dinner for birthday. It was an out dinner.
Yeah, and reality is, I should have just cooked.
You should have just made something.
I could have made. I think I could have made a better meal than what I paid for.
I feel like I'm on a really bad streak of, unless I go someplace where I've been before and I know exactly what I like on the menu, that's a little bit different for me. But when I go places that I haven't been, I'm on a bad streak of picking what to eat off the menu. I'm in this weird cop between every time I go out of, do I want to try something new or do I go with a staple that I know I'm going to enjoy? And then I always try and tell myself, like, live a little. You could get hit by a bus tomorrow. Let's try something new. Let's roll the dice a little bit. And my hit rate recently on eating out places that I haven't been, very low. And then I end up getting it. Then I don't like the food. Then I'm upset at myself for ordering it. Then I'm like, why did I even go out? I should have just made something at home. It's a conundrum right now.
Yeah, there's nothing I enjoy more than supporting a local restaurant or business. But the bummer factor of having to pay what we pay now to eat out,
it's very expensive.
Not being, like, stellar.
Especially if you're a good tipper, and that's a part of your protocol, right? You're throwing 20-25% on that bad boy. That adds up quickly.
That, if you enjoy a cocktail or glass of wine or something, the bar tab will rack up pretty quick.
If I'm going out to dinner, there's going to be a cocktail or a glass of wine or a beer.
I've dropped to 15% unless I'm sitting in the restaurant to eat.
That's fair. Like takeout or delivery, whatever. Yeah, that's totally fair. If there's no service component to it,
there's not. I mean,
they're just cooking your food and giving you the food.
Bag, tag, and hand it to me.
That's a very fair tip right
there.
Yeah,
I
think there's
feel.
No shame on that.
No.
Food is more expensive, it feels like, than it ever has been right now.
I mean, it's tough, but, like, again, if I'm paying $24 for something that used to cost me like $10.
There's my tip. That's $15 out of my tip right there.
I kind of want it to slap. And if it doesn't slap, I feel like I've gotten slapped. You know what I mean?
Am I getting my money's worth on this bad boy?
It's tough. I'm probably going to make a great dinner for myself tonight as a makeup. Like, hey, you should have just rolled with this for yourself.
Why didn't I do this last night? You should just order pizza, man. You can't go wrong with pizza.
See, that's the other thing is the wife isn't a big pizza person.
She probably thinks we pizza too much. So if you take the kid to a Mexican restaurant, she'll just refuse to eat anything, or is there anything on the menu
just
that you could
chips
get?
Chips and salsa the whole time? Or
salsa's too spicy.
Too spicy.
One black pepper flake on anything is too spicy.
Can't handle the heat.
I also have the lamest white children of all time.
Wow.
Quesadilla, if we go to a place.
Yeah, like a quesadilla is pretty universal. It's just cheese and a tortilla.
Here's the other thing. If I make a burrito, so she likes chicken and steak.
Yeah.
Okay.
She likes rice.
So all those things are components.
Beans is a little, I think, of the iffy things of the Mexican dishes. Yeah. She's not a big fan of. But she likes cheese.
Okay. Yes.
But if you say, I'll give you a rice, beef, chicken, cheese burrito, she'll tell you she doesn't like cheese.
Ah, now cheese is out. I don't like cheese on the burrito.
I don't understand it. She likes grilled cheese. She likes quesadillas.
Yes. Yeah. Who doesn't like cheese? Everybody loves cheese.
But she doesn't love cheese, rice, and meat in a burrito.
Yeah, that makes no sense
whatsoever.
It's
so stupid.
So you can't order that burrito. But you could do maybe a bowl. Could you do a bowl in that scenario? Just chicken, rice, and a bowl?
I don't even know if she complained about it. I shouldn't care about the complaint. Like, shut up and eat the food you have.
Yes, this is where we're going to dinner. It's dad's birthday, damn it.
I feel like we're getting close back to society of saying, like, there's kids in China. They'll kill you for that food.
Yes.
I feel like we're getting close to going back to sight in poorer countries or people in bad circumstance.
You're not leaving the table until you're done eating your meal.
Yeah.
Damn it.
And I don't do that. I live in the world of, like, well, I have three different human beings, including myself, so that's four.
Let's make everybody happy.
How do we all accommodate?
Yeah, there's no way you can make everybody happy.
No, there's not.
Every once in a while in your household, you got to be a dictator. This isn't a president. We're not, delegating responsibilities here. I'm the man in charge, and I'm going to tell you what we're going to do tonight.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. A lot of that going on.
Birthday dinner, this is what I want. If you don't want to eat, you can sit there and stare into the wall, all right?
I did get a delightful gift, though.
Ooh.
I got this four sweatshirt.
Hey. Yeah. That's the logo? That's
Well, I mean, it's missing the stars for the championships.
Do they have championships?
Premier League title,
they
70s,
do.
Baby.
Hey, back in the day.
Yeah, fighting Reds.
You like finding teams that haven't won titles since the 70s. What's up with that, man?
I didn't want to be a bandwagon
A little more recent success would be delightful. Can we get one in this century?
We're middle bottom tier of the table right now.
That'd be cool. Well, nothing on the horizon.
But my wife had this made because if you get something from London, it costs like $1,000.
Yeah.
And so she had it made, and she's like, yeah, I made this stupid team sweatshirt for you. I'm like, hey, yo, easy.
Hey.
That's stupid, all right?
Sounds just like me. What are we doing this stupid 6 a.m. soccer stuff for? What the hell's the matter with you?
All right, I'll get out of it. I'm sorry.
Your work wife and your home wife
have the same
feeling about you and watching soccer.
I'm well aware. It's why I watch things in the garage quietly to myself.
I'm going to go work out here, all right?
I didn't even mention what they did Wednesday. Haven't brought it up at all.
No, they won a game.
Big match this weekend, too.
We got a big one on the horizon.
Oh, man.
It's going to be a tasty little weekend.
But it was good. Yeah. I show prepped and got ready for today, but
a little little bit of birthdays for me almost turn into as you get older. It's a bit of a New Year's Eve vibe. Like there's a, at least not anymore where you like build it up, but maybe when you're a little bit younger, you can, hey, it's my birthday. And then it never really lives up to the hype. It's not that big of a deal. Then the day's over and you're like, all right, that was it.
What time do you kind of think like it's over? Like, are you a, when I fall asleep and I'm out for the night, that is over? Because I've come to learn about myself with Christmas and my birthday that like probably 7:30 day of that day.
We're just shutting it down on the holiday.
I'm like mentally, I start to get a little sad or I'm like, well, it's over, even though it's only like 7:30.
It is. I mean, it only comes around once a year. That's it. And then the day's over and you realize I'm going to fall asleep here pretty soon. Like, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I got to wait 364 for that bad boy again.
Yeah. Like what day of Christmas day are you, it's going to hit you like, damn, dude, Christmas is over.
Probably when the kid's done opening presents. Because that's the moment that you live for, right?
What time does your kid open presents?
I mean, we'll do it probably first thing in the morning. He was
so
too young.
When that
to
happens,
do it.
Christmas is over?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, that's the part of the day that I'm looking forward to. Like him waking up, running out. We're not going to put any presents under the tree until Christmas Eve because I can't trust him with those. I don't know where the hell they're going to end up. They're going to be kicked and thrown and who knows what. So they won't be out until the morning of. So him like walking out, seeing the tree for the first time. I'm sure there'll be a couple of woes thrown in there. He's going to be really excited.
Oh, yeah. He's going to have some woes.
You know, and
whoa.
Exactly. And then once we're done with that and then you kind of clean up the paper, I think that's when it's like, all right.
Even though you have the whole day?
You have the whole day.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm not excited for the rest of the day, but like that's the pinnacle of your Christmas,
is it
not?
When are all the grandparents coming over?
We're going over to the in-laws after that, so there's more gifts to come, but me opening gifts isn't the same as him opening gifts.
No, I understand.
Yeah, that's kind of the, that's my pinnacle. That's like the midnight kiss of New Year's Eve, you know? That's like, that's as good as it gets.
Well, hold on though, but like, don't you want to see how the rest of the day when you get back home after doing the family stuff plays out in terms of like, what gifts is he the most interested in?
I mean, I'm curious of that, yeah, but I think it's all downhill after that moment. I think it's a quick climax, and then it's all downhill the rest of the day.
Swag, do you get a bit of is there a time for you during Christmas Day where the holiday hits you, you're like, damn, it's over?
It's usually late because traditionally my mom hosts Christmas dinner after everybody does their own things
at their house. Yeah.
And so, but we don't even get over there till 5. We probably don't eat till 6.
Sure.
And then there's some gifts for relatives that haven't seen one another. So it's like 10, 11 o'clock.
It's an all day affair.
Before
you're leaving your mom's at 10 or 11 o'clock at night?
Yeah.
That's a late one, man.
Okay.
I'm in bed by 10 o'clock on Christmas.
The guards like to enjoy themselves.
You like to carry the party in late into the evening, man.
Your parents are hanging out till 10 o'clock at night?
My mom is.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Shout out your mom. My mom's basically dead after 6 p.m.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I think mine's about the same. There's like pajamas on and a book's getting read in a chair by like 6:45. That's how the evening ends. Like, all right, we're packing it up. We're going home. See you tomorrow. That's it. We're done.
I will say, I don't know if it's what I ate and made my stomach like rumbling a little bit, but I'd by about 8:10, which is a time I should be trying to go to sleep anyway.
Yeah.
I'm like, I was more tired yesterday by 8:10 than I had been all week. And I'm like, of course it's on the day I turned 39. Of course I just feel the oldest my actual birthday.
I got nothing left in the tank, dude.
Yeah, that's tough, man.
Hey, being one more go around. Yeah. You got 364 left in the 30s.
I know.
Enjoy it, milk it up, baby.
I will. We got a loaded show today. There's a lot to get to. And coming up in about 15 minutes, we have a bright and early guest.
Yeah,
Marcus Shepherd.
If you're dragging on a Friday, listen at 6:30. I got a feeling this guy's going to bring the juice in every interview that he does, and we're going to be ready to run through a brick wall by the time it's over.
I'm very nervous that I'm going to ruin the entire interview at the start.
Oh, God, don't do it.
I don't want to have a bad relationship
with
my coach.
This is our first impression with the new coach. This is the first time he's coming on the show.
I have to have questions answered at the start of this interview.
Okay, all right.
I went down a rabbit hole.
This is going to end poorly.
It's not going to end poorly.
He's not coming back on. We only get him once.
Conley said it was A-okay, by the way.
Okay.
He said, I didn't feel as awkward as you're making it sound like it was. And I go, thank God, dude, because I got told by multiple coworkers.
You made that one really weird, man.
Yeah, that I made you feel weird. Yeah, he's like, not at all. And I'm like, okay, great.
All right, we're good. So maybe we'll be all right. I'm excited either way.
I am too. We'll talk with Jamarcus Shepherd coming up at 6:30. Contrary to Dirt's tweet, we have Sharon J. Araja coming up.
I couldn't remember the time, so I didn't put him in the tweet.
It's in the text.
Yeah.
Scroll your phone.
Yeah, it's in there somewhere.
You had the information.
Yeah, we'll tweet it out today. We'll be all right.
Okay, all right.
It'll be okay.
We'll talk college football, conference championships, playoffs. We'll throw at him our idea of like the play-in games on the week of college conference championships.
It's a way to spruce it up a little bit.
I think so, too. So we'll talk with him coming up at 7:30. We got to Sprague the line today, of course. Let's start in the NFL and a little buffer, and then we'll get to Jamarcus Shepherd coming up at 6:30. Dirt and Sprague, good to be with you on this Football Friday on The Fan.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I hate to be the guy that said it, but I kind of called it yesterday. We were all talking about that Lion-Cowboy elimination game. And
it was a fun game.
Yeah, it got good at the end. At 27-9, it was like, this game's going to end up sucking. And then, they came back. But I had said jokingly, like, all three of us were kind of like, I kind of like the Cowboys in this one. And I said at the end, like, we're going to regret and laugh about this tomorrow, aren't we?
Yes, we will.
The surest bet was the over. I'm still confused why not any one of the three of us sprayed the line on it when we all loved it and probably bet and made money on it.
Detroit almost hit it on their own.
Yeah, they did. but the Cowboys being the Cowboys. Thursday Night Football, 2-5 on the road. And there you go, 6-6-1.
Yeah, I mean they're done. Fun little run there for 3 weeks. They needed a win last night. They now have less than a 10% chance to make the playoffs unless they just get an absolute disaster class finish from the Philadelphia Eagles and they don't win a game the rest of the year. But I'd be pretty surprised if that happened. So it was a must win for either team. And so for Detroit to get it big, to keep their playoff hopes alive, and they now have over a 50% chance of making the playoffs after winning the game. A couple takeaways were, one, the officiating was just horrendous. I feel like the NFL's had this now for a few primetime games in a row.
Yeah, that is, I've noticed that too a little bit. I've tried not to bring it up because I find the conversation a little boring, but yeah. there's some primetime games that I've not enjoyed the officiating.
Calling an OPI on Ferguson in the moment where they were, down 14, I think, at the time, and they throw, I mean, that was a clear DPI where you got kind of hooked going into the end zone. They call offensive pass interference.
You don't see that, like, call at that point of a game very
what
often.
What are we doing? Just let him play in that moment, if anything, it's defensive pass interference. But if you don't throw a flag, whatever, I'm okay with it. To call OPI when the guy did nothing, like the officials that are paid to be the TV analysts essentially will come on and 99.9% of the time tell you the officials made the right call. So if they're coming on TV telling you it's a terrible call and they don't see anything, that tells you all you need to know. And so that was just, it was horrible. And then the other storyline to me was, outside of Detroit winning, I don't know what to make of George Pickens, man. Like, George Pickens has been awesome this year.
Uh-huh.
It's been one of the best offseason moves of anybody. The Steelers just gave up on him.
Yeah.
He that was a disaster class from him last night.
Yeah.
The opening play of the second half, he runs a half-hearted slant route that leads to a pick that sets up the touchdown that basically leads to the game being separated for good. He had a play late in the game where a ball landed on his feet and he didn't even attempt to catch it. He had a 3rd and 17 where he didn't even run a route. He just jogged 15 yards and turned around and it was easily broken up. Like he... all of the things that you were concerned about when he was in Pittsburgh that haven't really showed up this year because he's had a great year showed up last night, and Richard Sherman killed him at halftime, and I thought he was 100% spot on. CeeDee Lamb goes down with a concussion, and his arms are doing the weird thing where they're not moving. You're like, that doesn't look good. You need George Pickens to step up, and he completely disappeared.
Yeah, you had to have Flournoy step up. You're like, oh, okay.
All right, this is where we're going tonight. Like, okay.
I hear you.
I think he's up for a contract extension, and like talent-wise, everybody knows how good he is, but then there's games like that where, do you care? Are you here?
I think that's the thing about the position is there's not guys who, like, Gainwell in Pittsburgh is a good example of this. That dude's kind of emerged as the best player at that position.
Yeah.
And no disrespect meant to DK Metcalf. But, like, Pickens is kind of the quintessential modern-era receiver, is he not? He has a ton of good games. He shows you all of this incredible athletic potential. And the minute something doesn't go well, it looks like they kind of check out. They're
just pouting and not running routes.
Yeah, that kind of diva-esque quality. Yeah. That was kind of what my read on that was. Because you're right, he's had a great year. He's 78 catches.
Dude, he's top 3 in the NFL in yards and touchdowns.
1,100-plus yards, 8 touchdowns.
Yeah, like, he's had a massive year.
I think the tough thing is...
and he's only 24.
He's 24, so that's a big part of that, right? Justin Jefferson did an interview this week where he basically said, this has been the hardest year of my career.
Nobody can throw me the football. This really sucks.
And I think that's the thing for me is just, I look at Pickens and I expect him to have a few of those. And so, like, it's hard for me to be overly critical when I'm already kind of expecting that to be the case with him. And I think if you press Dallas internally, that was kind of the bit of the swing part of that, right? Was we might get kind of the diva Pittsburgh Pickens that we did see a couple times last year, but you also have these other games where he comes out and he's a monster, right? Like, his season has been phenomenal. His yards, his yardage totals at Carolina, 168 yards, at Vegas, 144, against Philadelphia, he had 9 catches for 146. Last week, he had 6 catches for 88 yards.
Yeah.
So, like, and
he had a great year.
He was fine in that game, but it wasn't like he took it over against the Kansas City Chiefs.
No.
I just expect games like that for players like him.
I think the question I would have coming out of it, because you're not wrong, I think there was probably the expectation it would happen, and maybe a Cowboy fan could tell me this is, I haven't watched every second of every game that they played this year, so maybe this has showed up in another game. But
it did. Philadelphia's first game, he had 3 catches for 30 yards.
Okay, I didn't know how much of that was. Remember, there was a weird weather delay in that game.
The Giant game, that overtime, that monster Russ Wilson 40, game.
40 game or whatever.
5 catches, 68 yards. Against the Bears, 5 catches, 68 yards.
Well, I think there's a difference between not being a primary target or getting double teamed and then actively not trying on the football field. That's my point.
He had a couple plays in the double team one where they almost picked it off
him.
He made no effort.
He just didn't even try. He didn't even reach for the football. And the opening pick of the second half was 100% on him. Like, that's the tough part. Dak, I thought, had a pretty good game. He was under pressure a lot. They didn't run the football great. Dak's having a good year. The one pick came at the end of the game where
that's not his fault.
And the other pick was the opening play of the second half. Yeah. It's 20-9. You start the half with the ball. First play, and you run a half-ass slant route. Leads to a ball getting deflected. They pick it off, run it to the 15-yard line, and it sets up an easy touchdown. And the game is essentially over at that point. They tried to get back into it, but their defense isn't good enough to get stops. So typical Cowboys in that regard. I think the question on Pickens is, what are you willing to do financially if you're going to get games like that from him? And maybe it doesn't matter and they're still going to give him an extension because he's a free agent after this year. So you could tag him or give him a big deal. But you're talking about a guy who's 24 and he's top 3 in the NFL in yards and touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's deserving of a big payday. But then there's that clunker out there. The other takeaway I had from the game last night, you asked a question a couple weeks ago that I wasn't quite ready to answer, and now I think I am ready to answer it, and maybe it's caught in the moment. Jahmyr Gibbs might be the best player in the NFL.
I think it's legitimately fine to ask that question out loud.
I don't know if this had been just off my radar accidentally or purposefully, the fact that he is now on the brink of setting the NFL record for touchdowns before turning 24.
I gave you the factoid two weeks ago.
It's just like, I'm seeing the graphic. He had, how many touchdowns did he have last
night?
17, it felt like.
Yeah.
He's now got 45, passing Randy Moss. Barry Sanders
is
the only guy.
No, I think he tied Barry with, is he at 46 or 47?
40, I think, maybe it was another one later.
I thought he tied Barry.
Okay, yeah, I think he had two more, that's right.
Yeah.
Because the first one put him at 45, yes. And then two more, so he's tied with Barry Sanders.
47.
With 47 touchdowns before turning 24 years old.
He's going to break the record.
Without
a
doubt.
That's a done deal.
It's just a matter of how much he breaks it by.
I think it's very fair to ask out loud if Jahmyr Gibbs is the best player in football, and I know we won't say yes to that, but
I think I'm willing to say yes now. I'm giving it to him. He's the best player in football.
He's a game breaker,
I don't care, dude.
Man.
The play he had stopping at the sideline and the camera angle they had with the first down marker, just insane.
I'll also say this as we go to Jamarcus Shepherd. Something we kind of overlooked a little bit or didn't talk about enough, I think, post the Packer-Lion game, which, you know, that thing was tight the fourth quarter. The Lions have been a little funky this year. I don't know if we're ready to trust them fully. I think it's fair to ask out loud, like, should we have given more consideration that they lost Amon-Ra St. Brown early in that game? Because we kind of overlooked it.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong. That's a big piece of their offense. I also... It's like they have so many other weapons. I feel like they should be able to still function.
Yeah, but he
adds
an element with Jameson Williams.
He's
that's crazy.
What record did he set last night? Most catches in your first 5 years in the NFL? Or so? He set another one, too.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
He's been a stud.
Let's go and talk with the head coach of the Oregon State Beavers, Jamarcus Shepherd, getting ready for the SEC title game. Is the new coach of the Beavs. He joins us next on The Fan.
Look, I don't want to complain about many things on air. When you bring the legend of Greencastle, Indiana on, I don't think we should have the Full House theme.
How do we not know if he was a Full House P1? Maybe he grew up on Full House. He's not that much older than us. He's right in the wheelhouse.
Coach, are you a Full House guy?
I definitely watched Full House as a young man growing up.
Yeah.
What was your go-to show when you were a kid? Did you have one of those like family sitcoms you loved the most?
You know, we used to watch Family Matters a lot, and my kids, even now, they watch Family Matters, you know, so there was a thing called TGIF, so
yes,
thank goodness
man.
It's Friday,
yes.
And so you got to watch all those sitcoms at that time.
Oh, I was going to ask you about TGIF, I'm glad you brought
that up.
Glory
days, man.
Largely the same age. Congratulations, Jamarcus Shepherd, the new head coach of Oregon State. Happy Football Friday, Coach. You're joining us live from Tuscaloosa. It's been a interesting week for you. I got into a rabbit hole reading about your life and your career, and I got to the point where I was on a .edu website reading a quote you gave, and I don't even know if you remember the quote, but in your recruiting coming out of high school to go play college. You let a coach know that you weren't going to go play for him, and you said that you told him, hey, sorry, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to a different school. And then you said you hung the phone up, made a sandwich, took a nap. I need to know, what sandwich did you make after that phone call, and how long does Coach Shepherd nap for?
You know what? I don't remember what sandwich I made. You know what? And a shout out to Coach Creighton. I have the utmost respect for him and what he's done to help develop me throughout, you know, my career as a football coach. But, I don't get to take many naps anymore, so I'm not much of a napper anymore. So I just kind of power through and keep it moving.
All right. Everything I've read, Coach, you've said that this will kind of be the last week. You want to finish it with the SEC championship at Alabama and then come back to Corvallis. I'm curious, two-part one, just for you to confirm that and what your calendar is going to look like. And then two, has this just been the craziest week of your life? I mean, you're flying coast to coast, you're in Tuscaloosa, then you're going to go to Atlanta and then jump on a bird. Just what has this week been like for you?
You know what? Week's been outstanding, honestly, just because the people who have really just been able to reach out and have understanding and support me in my mission to, you know, finish out the right way here at Alabama, but also get prepared for this new journey at Oregon State. And so I just appreciate all those involved, from Scott Barnes to Greg Byrne to, you know, Kalen DeBoer, everyone has been in true support of me this entire process. Now, you know, I think I did more in 48 hours up there in Corvallis than I've ever done in my life. And so, but it was exciting because all the people that were around and available and in my presence during that time were just, they were just on top of it. And I just truly appreciate it, knowing that they're all in alignment there in Corvallis.
We're talking with the new Oregon State head coach, Jamarcus Shepherd, getting ready to take over. He is officially the Beavs coach, but getting ready for one more with Bama and then coming back to Corvallis to build the Beavs back up. You dabbled in a non-coaching career before becoming an intern under Willie Taggart. I'm curious, do you remember the moment you realized coaching was more what your career should be than the non-coaching career?
You know, I knew back when I was in my senior year of college, actually. So my head football coach at that time, Bill Lynch, he asked me to come and participate and help out coach a team at the Bishop Delahan camp. It was an overnight camp. And you know what? He gave me a team that I was responsible for. And lo and behold, our team was probably the best team, and I sort of thought it was, you know, had something to do with me. Well, I didn't know that they were a team that were going to be one of the state powerhouses in Cathedral High School there in Indianapolis. So that was when the bug sort of hit me then, and I tried for years, for a number of years, to get into this coaching profession. But when you play Division III football, you don't necessarily have all the connections to put you in those spaces to be able to have a chance to get into Division I college football. There are opportunities at DePaul University to be a football coach there, as well as our track coach was trying to convince me to come there and be the head track coach there at DePaul. But I just had visions of being at the Division I level and helping young men at this level.
Well, I mean, on that point, Coach, how long has it been a dream to be a head coach? And then what was it about this opportunity in Corvallis that made it feel like now is the time to go make a jump? This is what I want to do.
I don't know that being a head coach was ever a dream. I just more or less just worked my tail off and put in the time and continued to try to learn and put myself in spaces that would allow me to be prepared in the event that one of these opportunities came up for me. So just super excited that I had done all the legwork on the front end to prepare me for this. Now, as far as Oregon State University, I just have always had a ton of respect for this university. When you think about my vision for building a program, I just want the program to reflect like toughness, integrity, resilience, and those are the type of things that Oregon State University reflects as a program. It's what it represents, you know. And in this age of college football, Oregon State has really had to be resilient with the conference realignment and some of the things that have happened. But I know without a shadow of a doubt that we are positioned in a way that we should be able to compete at the top of this new Pac-12, and I think we have everything that we need to be able to compete at the top of it. So I'm just looking forward to getting to work and getting after it with the guys.
Yeah, you got people pretty fired up with your press conference and, you know, kind of giving us your backstory mixed in with how excited you are to be in Corvallis. I'm really curious, what's the message you're telling recruits? Because your recruiting class already for people like three kids were announced and people were like, oh my God, he's already better. Here we go. They're really jacked up about what you're doing. What are you telling recruits about how you envision Oregon State and why it might be the right school for them?
Well, you know what? I've just been able to spread my vision amongst a lot of young people over the course of my coaching career, just because I'm not afraid to tell my story. And so when they start to hear my story, they really truly are able to connect with it. Not only them, but their parents, their high school coaches, and people that influence them, their mentors. And so I just always have that ability to connect people with people in that way. And so I'm letting them know this will be a program that's rooted in accountability, discipline, and, you know, I just want them to really care for one another, you know, and that's when I talk about family, you know. Families forget about me, I love you. And I tell them how much I'm going to love them as players, because most players don't care what you know until they know that you care. And so I care about my players. And that's why, you know, even former first-round draft pick Jahad Campbell here at Alabama, he played linebacker, but he's FaceTiming me, and like he's like, Coach, I feel like I got the job hearing that you got the job, you know? Jack Westover played tight end for us at Washington. He's calling, Coach Shep, I just got the job because you got an opportunity. So I just have always had a lot of care for all of the players on the football roster, and that's what I will do with the young men that we're going to bring into Corvallis.
Yeah, it's awesome to hear. It's a great place to start. I'm curious to ask you, Coach, it's a unique time in college football where there's different ways to build your roster, and you know, maybe this looks differently 10, 15 years ago where you kind of slowly build through high school recruiting, and you guys got off to a great start this week. When you look at these maybe first 2-3 years in Corvallis, what's your balance of building a roster through the portal, through high school recruiting? Like, how does that kind of look in your mind as you start to put this thing together for 2026?
Well, fundamentally, I believe in really truly still building a roster through high school kids. You know, I think that I want to be able to develop them and help them see how our programs run at a high level. And so that to me is really important. Plus, I think the nucleus of the football teams is going to come from, you know, within a 5-hour radius of Oregon State, of Corvallis. And so I'm not saying a number per se of players, but the nucleus. These are the guys that are going to take people home and take them to the lake with them, take them home for Thanksgiving, things of that nature. Those are our nucleus players, but they are contributors as well to the football team and some starters. But we're definitely going to have to go into the portal to fill out a full roster. Normally at this time, you'd be signing anywhere from 20 to 30 kids or high school kids, but we're going to have to go into the portal and bring some young men in order to make sure that we have a roster that's prepared and ready to compete. Now, I want to be clear, that does not disclude the current guys on the roster, okay? So we're still going through the process of evaluating each and every one of them, and there are certainly players there that just haven't had their opportunity. They're going to have a better chance to develop in our program, and then we'll continue to, you know, investigate what's the best avenue for meshing all of it together. But I think we got a really good plan. I think I got a really good team helping me get that all together. And like I said, I can't wait to get there Sunday to really start pushing the envelope and continue forward.
This is new Oregon State head coach Jamarcus Shepherd getting ready to take over the Beavs after this weekend for the full-time basis. He gets ready for help Alabama win the SEC title game. What has coaching in the SEC for 2 seasons taught you, or what have you learned about coaching over there that maybe you didn't know before, that you've just learned that you can try to apply out west?
You know what? Coming here in the SEC, it's as much pressure as you're ever going to be under, as much scrutiny as you can be on, especially at a place like Alabama, where the standards are set really high. My standards for the football team at Oregon State University are also going to be extremely high for the players, for anyone involved in the program. So we just want to do things in a first-class manner. Everything that we do is first-class, and that's what you see from a lot of these teams in the SEC. Very, very first-class in how they do everything. They don't say no very often here, you know. They say, hey, let me try to see if I can figure it out. So we're going to try to figure it out, and we'll do that in everything that we do as a football team.
Well, you mentioned you headed over to SEC country, but you had a couple of previous stints in the Northwest, one of them with a future conference opponent that you're going to play in Washington State, and obviously your time in Seattle at UW. How much did that help maybe make this transition a little bit easier? Because sometimes coaches will take a job out here, and they've maybe never been west of the Rockies or had a job, but you've coached in a number of cities out here in the Northwest. How much does that ease the transition for you?
No, it's definitely helped, especially when you think about the familiarity with the various teams on this side of the country, the various travel situations over here, and then how the recruiting landscape is on this side of the country. But then also just it's a different vibe when you talk about the various people that you end up interacting with. And so you know how to work well with the players on your roster because you've been around people from the various areas that they are from. So certainly it's really helped and given me a leg up in this process. Even just something as important as knowing how the scheduling works in terms of, hey, are we on a quarters or are we on a semester schedule? It helps a ton to have already experienced that out here on the West Coast.
Coach, we know you're against it. We know you're super busy. You're getting ready to try to win an SEC championship. I do want to ask, you weren't there very long. What was your favorite Mike Leach moment where you went, okay, this guy's a little different than some of the others I've worked with?
It was a meeting early on, very early on. And we were talking about a pre-snap cadence, and I asked him, I said, so is there any meaning behind us calling it purple? And he went on a 25-minute rant on the color purple and told me more about the color purple than I ever would have thought I would ever know about the color purple and how it impacts your eyes and so on and so forth. So that's when I knew I was with someone different, but I have the most respect and love for the late, great Mike Leach. And so I really, truly appreciated his personality and who he was.
Yeah, that's a great story. I wish I could ask you more about the color purple, and maybe that's something we we put a pin in.
Interview part two, we'll do color purple.
Yeah, next time we get Jamarcus Sheppard on, let's dive into more TGIF and the color purple. Coach, thank you so much for hopping on. Good luck to your team this weekend, and I just want to put in the back of your mind, I know there's always going to be a little bit of a culture shock in new cities when you move. You're going to hear a term that you're going to think is very dirty and inappropriate, and it kind of is, but it's a play on a local bar in Corvallis. When somebody asks if you've been to the top of the cock, that's the Peacock Bar and Grill in Corvallis. There's nothing dirty meant by it, okay?
Okay.
All right. Good luck this weekend. Let's catch up with you soon.
Thank you, and look forward to it. Last but not least, go Bees.
There we go. Jamarcus Sheppard, the new head coach of my Oregon State Beavers.
Hey.
Good stuff.
Well done.
Good stuff.
Well done, man. I'm excited for you guys. Everybody seems to have that. It's that honeymoon phase. It's going to last all off season into the year next year, and then we'll see how the X's and O's work. But the honeymoon phase of a coaching hire is great. He checks every box. He's a great speaker. I love hearing from him.
And just imagine you're just shopping for furniture in Corvallis, and a fan comes up and like, Coach, I'm glad that you're here. You've been to the top of the cock. Like, if you don't know what that is,
you
got to
be
warned.
You got to be prepared for that one.
You need to be warned.
Could throw you for a little bit of a loop.
Also, like 20 minutes on the color purple.
Yeah, that's a long time on the color purple. At Washington State, I would have just assumed it was something Husky related, like a rivalry game thing, purple, but no.
He probably went in.
Easy on your
it's
eyes.
It's the color of royalty going back in the day and some other stuff
but like
that.
But at what minute mark are you like kind of thinking,
yeah,
dude, is this ever going to stop? Is he going to stop talking?
There was a great, I saw a clip from a former Saban staffer at Alabama, speaking of Alabama, who was telling stories, just crazy Nick Saban stories. And he said, we had a coaching meeting once getting ready for a game where we sat around at the meeting and legitimately for 30 minutes discussed what our kick or receive strategy was going to be. And like, if we, you know, do we want to go this way? Do we want to go that way? 30 minutes. And he said, after 25 minutes of the meeting, he leaned over to the guy sitting next to him. And he said, you realize there's a 50-50 chance we just wasted 30 minutes? Because if they win the toss, we don't get to decide what we want to do.
Yeah, but like, that's why those
that's
guys
why
were
no
16
That's why
hours.
They're the best. I know. They just, he's like, what if we lose the toss?
Right. The whole conversation would have been for nothing.
Could have had that 30 minutes back right there. Do we want to kick? Do we want to receive? Which way do we want to go?
Does that play a factor in overtime, even though you're not kicking off? Like, right. I just have so
Change
many questions.
Things up a little bit. But purple, evidently easy on the eyes, according to Mike Leach and Jamarcus Sheppard.
Enjoyed the conversation with Jamarcus Sheppard. Good to know he's a TGIF guy, just like Dirt and myself. He is more our age range than Swag.
Yeah, but is he 42,
he's 42.
42, so just a couple years older than you, a few older than me.
Yeah, just a couple years older. So good stuff from Jamarcus Sheppard. We'll bring some stuff back in the final hour if you missed that interview. We need to get going. We're a little over it. So Dirt and Sprague, we're back with more 647 on The Fan.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can always count on Sundays the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. $30 for the first year. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. A lot to get to in the second hour of the radio program. Shahan J. Araja of CBS Sports, our good college football buddy, he's going to hop on. We are efforting to get a time set for Pate for Monday.
Yes, fingers crossed he's on Monday. We'll know the bracket on Monday.
Yeah.
Sunday is Selection Sunday.
Was done traveling yesterday.
Well, he got back and then he did a show last night. So yeah. he had a bit of a day yesterday.
And then he has to travel to Atlanta today because he's got a live show tonight.
It's a bit of stuff going on right now.
It was, a bit of a Hail Mary to get him on this week. Yeah. And, he's great at getting back to us on stuff. Today or this week just didn't work out. So we'll have him on Monday for a big Pate conversation of the college football playoff. Enjoyed talking with Jamarcus Shepherd. That was delightful. That was fun. I like coaches that don't take life too seriously.
Yeah, it seems like he can joke around and have a good time, but you know he's going to work his ass off because you don't get from the point he was at to where he's at now without being the hardest worker in the room.
I don't know if there's anything that gets me as a person interviewing you or a listener of an interview that gets me to not like you more than like Mario Cristobal in an interview.
Yeah, brother, we're gonna work hard.
It's a ridiculous question.
How dare you?
Cares about TGIF.
Let's be serious here for a moment, all right?
Run the football.
We're going to play football. We're going to blow games we shouldn't blow, okay? We're going to lose to Stanford.
My brother's an FBI agent. You shut up.
I was almost a Secret Service agent, okay?
You better write me an apology letter, you little bitch.
Thank God that guy's gone, man.
It's seriously. Thank at least God. He got Lanning with primetime.
Yeah, this is a win-win in state for everybody. These two coaches are fun interviews. Yeah. I mean, Lanning has weeks for sure. He's a little guarded and won't give you a lot. But usually if you get him going on certain topics, he'll rant and rave about Halloween candy or whatever
you
want to talk about.
If you can unplug his brain from football, I do think he's starting with them at least to like say, yeah, USC, it's a big game, and I know that, but I'll talk about this, or that.
Let's talk about how I'm listening to the soundtrack of The Last of the Mohicans right now to get me fired. Like, that kind of stuff's good. Right. I also think there's a lot of comparables with their stories, right? Neither guy was a big-time Division I football player.
Both D3
guys that came out of nowhere. Lanning's famous story is that he had to drive hours overnight and change in a bathroom in Pittsburgh to get a GA job.
Yep.
And that's how he got in his in at coaching. Similar thing with Shepherd, where
Interim.
He's, do you want to coach track at DePaul? Is it DePaul?
It's DePaul.
DePaul?
Yeah. Okay. D-A-U-W.
Yes. Every time DePaul. I read it, I'm like, DePaul?
Not DePaul.
Not DePaul.
DePaul.
DePaul. And do you want to coach here? And he had to follow his dreams. And it's funny to think about where they were at and how many years those guys had to go through making literally no money. Just like, we'll give you a ham sandwich every Wednesday, and that's all. And you just got to do it for the love of the job and the belief in yourself that you can get over the hump and one day make a living out of this, and both of them are a remarkable testament to hard work.
Well, he's done a good job. Like I mentioned, it's not a lot of players, but like the three kids he instantly got in the commitment stuff. One of them a four-star receiver. Another one's like 6'4".
Yeah.
They got that edge rusher. They got 24 and a half sacks just in the one season in high school.
I mean, the sign of their class had finished in last place in the Pac-12 in overall ranking because they only had 10 guys, and you had 1 week to put together a recruiting class. The notable thing in there is similar to what we talk about with Oregon is the average ranking per recruit. And the only school in the Pac-12 who had a higher average ranking per recruit than them was Boise State.
I was going to say probably Boise,
that was
right?
It. Boise State signed 29 guys. They had the best class in the conference. Not a surprise, and I think Shepherd will get there next year because he has the ability to recruit, but your rating per player was better than everybody in the new look conference other than Boise.
Yeah, also like a lot of things I wanted to ask him about, but like also he's getting ready to coach an SEC title game. So like there's only going to be so many things
things he's going to be able to answer.
Yeah, there'll be more time in the offseason to sit down and vision and how you want it to all look.
Like, he called on old Oregon State players. Hey, come back. You know, be a part of this thing. Sit in meetings. Like, I wanted to ask if he had heard of feedback. But I'm like, there's no way he's been able to do all that, process all that in the span of the press conference to flying back to Tuscaloosa getting ready for an SEC title game.
For first half of your day, you're getting ready for a conference championship game, and then the second half of your day, you're trying to lead a new college football program. He's about a bit of a week this week.
A lot to get to in the second hour of the radio program. We got AD audio leaking. Boy, it's a bad look. And
he really hates my school, man. Bring it on.
Yeah, I found that interesting.
That's because they're 0-2 against us since we joined the conference. I'd hate us, too.
Yeah, but you're frauds.
We've leapfrogged them.
Fraudulently.
You're now kicked down on the pecking order of the old Big Ten.
We'll tell you who we're talking about. Second hour. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.